what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be are oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. And Dr. Craig, you are as astute a political person as I know. And I had the pleasure to have known you for many years now. Dr. Craig, what transpired on yesterday? And I was listening to conservative radio this morning, as I do on the way to work, and they didn't mention it at all. And I listened, I saw some other conservative television last night. They didn't mention this at all. Dr. Craig, am I making more of this than I should? When what took place and what transpired, and historically, nobody that I know is a better historian than you are when it comes to these kinds of situations. Is our nation in peril, in jeopardy, if this man gets to walk from this?
Yes. Unfortunately, Earl, you know, I also try to be optimistic, and my optimism is that he's losing. If the election was now, he would lose the general election, not knowing what the conditions will be in November 2024. But here's the reason why. I mean, Richard Nixon mused that if there was right-wing television networks, that he would not have to have left office over Watergate. And one of his major communication lieutenants, Roger Ailes, created Fox News. And so in many ways, the conservative movement of the 60s and 70s understood that they couldn't do what they wanted to do at the most extreme edges of it without changing the media, because people couldn't actually know. If people actually knew facts, you couldn't get away with it, like they knew what he did in Watergate, which was, I'm going to point out, Earl, he was far less involved in Watergate than what you see in this indictment of Donald Trump, which, when we hear conservative callers, I'm going to ask every single one whether they've actually read the indictment, because I have a feeling they have not. That's part of the problem. And you're right about right-wing media. I sample it, too. That's something you and I share in common. I haven't done radio, so you've given me my scan on that. I did Fox last night, and Jesse Waters seemed to be avoiding it, as far as I could tell. He was doing Hunter Biden. He was doing making fun of home of immigrants who were dropped in buses by southern states in New York, and any money spent to allow them not to starve and not to be, you know, without any kind of housing whatsoever. But when I turned on Hannity, who, you know, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock our time, big primetime thing, big friend of Trump's, he did talk about it, but he talked about it in the context of it was all a conspiracy to take attention away from the much more serious Hunter Biden allegations, which is unbelievable. And what he said about it, he said it was completely baseless, completely an inside job, you know, weaponizing everything else. He just lied. And the problem is that they've created a public that believes that. And we shouldn't blame those people. It's like the people who get swindled, right?
Right.
By Bernie Madoff or by any hucksters in American history, that, you know, which are legendary, or people who have fallen victims to cults. You blame the people who are manipulating them. Some of your callers are listening to this stuff, and they're not reading the actual indictment, which the evidential level of this thing and the meticulousness of it is exceptional. And it, a lot of this has been in the light of day, if one was watching, right, at all, and wasn't being lied to and deluded by the whole right-wing ecosystem. And it's very compelling, not only that this man needs to go to trial, right, to a defense and to test those facts, but he doesn't have a right to do what he did in 2020, which is to simply lie about it and make up his own facts, because he never had evidence of large-scale fraud that changed the result of any of the states he lost, period. But launched a huge conspiracy to prevent the legal certification of the rightfully elected president of the United States and to stay in power illegally. And I was just going to say that I don't think I think Ron Johnson has some exposure here.
We're going to definitely get into the Ron Johnson part of this, Dr. Craig. But I really, it really just to me again, the indictment is easy reading. You don't have to, you know, be Dr. Craig. You don't have to have a PhD. In political science and other things to read the indictment. It's easy reading. And so when you read those things, you can't help but think of the inherent danger to the democracy, Dr. Craig. That's clearly what this really is about. And if people are going to accept, well, it's a witch hunt, you know, they're after him because they're afraid that he'll beat Joe Biden. I mean, if that's what you want to buy into, then the only saving grace in all of that, Dr. Craig, is he'll go before a jury of his peers. And the decision will be made in courts. It won't be made on Fox News.
And Hannity is assaulting that too. And part of what their whole game plan is to make everyone else uncredible and lies, right? So now the criminal justice system to them, when they don't like what it's doing, is completely disreputable. We don't have one. Well, that's discrediting any hope of a democracy if people don't believe in the criminal justice system. It doesn't mean you and I think it at their miscarriage of justice. It doesn't mean that we can just throw out anything that comes from it. But he is saying that Trump can't get a fair trial because of the partisan composition of Washington, D.C., Fulton County, Georgia, where there's not been an indictment yet, and in New York, in the much less significant case that's been brought against Trump. Of course, he's not mentioning that the documents case is in Florida, and quite likely in very Republican areas of the state, in South Florida, not Miami. So he's not saying that, but what he's saying, Earl, is he's attacking a cardinal principle of the criminal justice system, that is that a jury of one's peers can be selected that will act objectively and on the evidence, no matter where it is. Otherwise, why the heck do we bring cases in red areas then? If the judicial system only is a matter of what the partisan composition is of where the court is.
You know, Dr. Craig, the seriousness of this, and I keep trying to get people to understand, it's bigger than one man, right? I mean, it's bigger than the fact if they can't, and I was reading something yesterday that said they've got to hurry up and get this case tried before the election, or else Donald Trump could possibly pardon himself if he wins. Or what could prevent this case from moving quickly enough before the election, Dr. Craig, to make sure that the case is heard?
Here's what I understand based on federal litigators are saying. This is beyond both of our expertise. That, and we don't know because, I mean, it's a former president,
right,
so it changes the rules, and maybe he has more capacity to delay. He is under, in this case, the new case, the D.C. Circuit, which has been handling all of those January 6th cases And so we know they have a record of being expedient and not believe, and not that, and not being falling for these kind of arguments, unlike the judge in Florida hearing the documents case. But my understanding is it's going to be impossible to have the litigation concluded by the election. What's possible is having the trial. And so then there'll be all sorts of appeals that Trump will make, that, and even if he was to be convicted and even if he would be sentenced to jail time, it'd be a long time before he served it. This is assuming after he has had his constitutional right to make a defense, and to be proven guilty beyond reasonable doubt. But if it's on the record, if the trial is done, then that can't be undone, right? Even if there's going to be all sorts of different levels of appeal and process after a conviction. So what they're saying is that the special prosecutor's trying to get the trial on the books, and that is possible. And that's why only Trump is indicted. The others are unindicted co-conspirators because he didn't want to complicate the case. They are subject to prosecution separately. And in fact, they have an incentive to cooperate because that might affect whether they are prosecuted or whether they get plea deals. And that means someone like Ron Johnson and his staff could be subject to process down the line. But it will be Donald Trump first, so that there can be a trial prior to the election.
Dr. Craig, hold a thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Man, Dr. Craig is here, and man, we need him now because, you know, my head is spinning because you would think that this occurred in 2021, and there's not a whole lot of new evidence for us who've been watching this, but yet it still seems so far away. 844-967-2789. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
For every little kiss, there's a little teardrop. For every single thrill, there's another heartache. The road is rough, the going gets tough. Yes, love is a hurting thing. Oh, love is a hurting thing.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, I'm sure many people in our audience don't know this. Wisconsin is at the center of a sweeping indictment of former President Donald Trump, who is accused by a federal grand jury of organizing the conspiracy to steal the 2022 election from President Joe Biden. Trump's strategy to stay in office after voters elected Biden president in 2022 hands on 84 people in seven states, including Wisconsin, who agreed to sign documents claiming to be electors for Trump. So Dr. Craig, what was the the fake electors that were brought before, Ron Johnson, United States Senator of the state of Wisconsin, who clearly was in this up to his neck. He knew about these things and he lied when it was, when it was brought to his attention. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Wisconsin is in this indictment, partly just because there was an attempt by Trump to prevent, to challenge the vote initially and lost there. And then Wisconsin is the origination point of the fake electors conspiracy. Originally, it was the Wisconsin memo, and it was drafted by the attorneys working on Wisconsin for President Trump. It then was, and then a new memo was created that was national, based on the Wisconsin memo. Originally, the conspiracy was simply, we're going to get these electors in case we win in court. But of course, they lost every single court case and they were thrown out with prejudice. That is, there was no basis for their challenges of large-scale voter fraud. They had no evidence and proof. So then it became part of Trump's conspiracy to block the certification of the election anyway through Mike Pence. And so it was to induce people to mimic what happens within the Electoral Counts Act, which governs the federal elections, and create a second set of electors that then Pence could either accept, Vice President Pence, according to their theory. Pence concluded he didn't have any such authority. His position, his role was ceremonial. And if not do that, at least return it to the states and then get pressure on the states to seat the other electors and do that through appointing a new attorney general, Jeffrey Clark, who would have sent a letter saying that the DOJ had evidence that there was large-scale, very concerning fraud in that state in order to be a predicate for, say, a right-wing legislature like the one in Wisconsin to send the other electors. And so Wisconsin was at the epicenter of that. Michigan's attorney general actually has charged their fake electors. Nothing that has happened yet in Wisconsin. Attorney General Call will not confirm or deny whether there is an investigation here. But quite frankly, those electors in Wisconsin, the fake ones, could end up being prosecuted later at the federal level after separately from Trump, since they decided to separate everything else out from Donald Trump. The lawyers involved in Wisconsin are a couple of them co-conspirators and listed in evidence about them in this indictment. And where Ron Johnson comes in, Earl, is that they were concerned at the end that the electors from Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, the fake ones, had not gotten to Pence. Now, and therefore they went through Ron Johnson to attempt to try to get them delivered to Vice President Pence on January 6, 2021. And Johnson has claimed it was all staff to staff. He had nothing to do with it and there's nothing to see here. And the Journal Sentinel, which is trying to be very careful, they don't want to be accused of bias, they quote the passages. They talk about Johnson's staff's involvement with a staffer for Vice President Pence. They don't specify, partly I think they're trying to not look like the reporter, not look like they're taking sides, the language of the indictment, which does not say that Donald Trump's people contacted Ron Johnson's people. It says they contacted the senator, and then the senator's chief of staff attempted to deliver them to Pence's staff. So in other words, the plain language of the indictment says that Ron Johnson was asked to do this and facilitated it.
So, Dr.
And so he misled the Wisconsin public in his reelection.
Dr. Craig, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. On the line, Dr. Craig, Citizen Action. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, as I was preparing for the show this morning, I couldn't help but this article. Top Trump DOJ official was prepared to use Insurrection Act to stay in power. People need to understand the depth of what took place. Jeffrey Clark, a former top Justice Department official under Donald Trump, was prepared to use the Insurrection Act to stay in power despite Trump's loss in 2020 presidential election, according to Tuesday's federal indictment of the former president. The indictment reveals a stunning 2021 exchange between Clark, who is referred to as co-conspirator number four, and Deputy White House Counsel Patrick Philbin. Philbin had previously warned Clark in December that there is no world, there is no option in which you do not leave the White House January 20th. He made the point again on January 3rd in an effort to dissuade Clark from assuming the role of acting attorney general under fraudulent Trump presidency. Let's go to the phone lines and Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Go ahead, Ken.
Good morning, Earl, Dr. Craig. How are you guys?
All right.
This is the third indictment, correct?
He's been indicted. Yeah, maybe. Go ahead.
You think this might stick this time?
I mean, do you think it's going to stick?
What? I'm thinking it could. It's the last chance Democrats got before the election, probably. And the numerous people I spoke to that are middle-line voters, guess what? The only reason he voted for that fool in the White House is because the pandemic was going on. And you were worried that Trump, this time around, most middle voters, guess who they're going to vote for?
I don't know.
These fake witch hunches has been going on for 6 years. And it's the only way. Who do you think that people are going to vote for Joe Biden again?
They voted for him before, right?
They did because the scaredemic was going on. All your middle-line voters voted that way. This time they're not. They don't care if a man has a bad tweet once in a while. I'm telling you, Earl. All your middle-stream voters are going to vote for Trump.
Let me ask you. You think that this is Donald Trump has just had a bad week or a bad tweet? You think that's all this is?
Well, this is the third time. There's nothing.
So Dr. Craig asked, did you read the indictment?
No, because why? It's a fake witch hunt. It's been going on 6 years.
Okay, hang on. Dr. Craig, this is what you were talking about, right?
Yeah, and I actually don't necessarily disagree with the caller what he said. He said that the court cases, he wants to dismiss the other two. They're still in process, but I'll say cases, might not prevent Trump from being reelected and that voters could vote for Trump over Biden. I think that's true. So his defense is, because he hasn't read it, that even if the conspiracy is true, it may work. I mean, that is sort of like saying that, you know, the Godfather could get away with it. Not that the Godfather didn't commit crimes, right?
Right.
And so I think, and this is just speculation, so Ken and I are equally qualified to speculate, if the election were held today with the way the economy is and the way public opinion is as we know it, Biden would win. But we don't know what's going to happen. There absolutely could be a recession. And I know Republicans will say it's the president's fault. The presidents do not necessarily have complete control whatsoever over macroeconomic forces. And recessions happen under all kinds of presidents, all ideologies, all parties. But the point is, or something could happen internationally, or something could happen, another pandemic. What if COVID came back, because we never really did what we ought to have done? Biden could be blamed for that. So the point is, could the conspiracy work? Absolutely. That's why it's a threat to democracy. So I think you and I are agreeing with Ken on that. We can't really discuss the indictment with him because he hasn't read it and doesn't plan to read it and has decided to dismiss it without reading it.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Craig, Mike Pence says Trump indictment shows our country is more important than one man. That's from Mike Pence. Is the country more important than one man? Ken?
Absolutely not, but you can cry wolf so many times. It's like the old fairy tale. Three strikes and you're out. If it doesn't work this time, I'm telling you, the middle line voters are going to vote for the right.
Do you think Donald Trump did anything? Yes. Do you think Donald Trump did anything illegal?
Has he been convicted of anything? No. I follow by the court system, the rule of law in this country. Has he been convicted of anything? Absolutely not, correct?
All right. Thank you very much for the call. CJ.
Thanks for taking my call again, Earl. I'd like to ask Sandy.
If Sandy is not here, this is Dr. Craig.
Oh, okay. Well, God darn it. Well, then maybe you would answer the question, though, because as far as Joe Biden goes, if this was
we're not talking about
Joe Biden, man.
We're not talking about Joe Biden.
See, that's the point.
How's that the point?
How about Devin Archer? Devin Archer, the same day this happens, just like the previous indictment, when it came out that the Hunter Biden story was true, you know, you just don't man it. Do you care whether or not he's taken money from foreign governments up to 30
So let me respond this way. So let me respond this way, and then I'll let Dr. Craig respond to you. If Hunter Biden did anything wrong, he should go to jail. Donald Trump had tried to put together a coup for this of this nation, and there's no comparison about Hunter Biden getting some dollars from somewhere with a former president of the United States attempting to commit a coup of this nation. Dr. Craig,
you're looking at a criminal conspiracy of some kind, and your answer is we think there's this other one. It just shows how political this is. And furthermore, both deserve their day in court, Donald Trump and Hunter Biden. And certainly Hunter Biden is in some legal trouble. So there are clearly things that have gone on. But what's in the public domain right now is overwhelmingly powerful evidence on Trump and very shaky evidence on Hunter Biden. It does not mean Hunter Biden won't be found guilty and there isn't strong evidence. It's just it's not in front of us.
So Dr. Craig, though, but
attempt to say otherwise last night, and it was laughable if you even listened to his arguments based on the facts he presented.
I know, but Dr. Craig, one guy was the former president of the United States. The other guy, how do you even equate the two, Dr. Craig?
Right. They're not also there's a false equivalency here as well, because there may well be evidence that the son of the president, one of his sons, has engaged in wrongdoing. The evidence that President Biden is connected, that's laughable. I mean, it's non-evidence. And so, and it's, and by the way, maybe they can be proved in court and maybe he'll be convicted. I mean, Hunter Biden, but I mean, there's not even a case concerning the president. I mean, that's the kind of thing that the special counsel that Trump's attorney general appointed, John Durham, the kind of thing that he was looking for. And it wasn't there. It doesn't mean it won't be found at some point. But with Trump, there's a smoking gun. So it's amazing. I mean, if people would just take a step back and think about it, it makes no sense to switch the subject to Hunter Biden. That is separate. And it makes no sense to jump to these wild conclusions about Joe Biden and a corrupt Biden family, supposedly, based on what has been put out there in the public record.
You know, Doctor,
but I don't think you and I, Earl, should be, and we haven't been sucked into defending Hunter Biden.
No.
We don't know enough about what Hunter Biden did.
But again, Dr. Craig, not only was this man once the president of the United States, he's lobbying to become that again. So, I mean, there is no way there's any comparison whatsoever. It doesn't matter how many times they want to twist this thing. But I will ask you, Donald Trump's, one of his attorneys said, none of these things can prevent him from running for president of the United States anyway.
You know what? I agreed with Ken that the conspiracy could succeed and Trump could win re-election and then all bets are off. His attorney, it was on your news break on the station, bottom of the hour. That is correct. He could be elected. We could have a president who was in jail, theoretically, if he was convicted and sentenced to jail time. That's why. So quite frankly, there are some crimes which were not charged in this case. Maybe he would be convicted under these and they would be charged that would bar you from federal office that go back to after the Civil War when we had an insurrection and a secession of a number of states, the Confederates, which is an insurrection conspiracy. Former Confederates were barred from federal office. So there's a basis, but he's not charged with any of those crimes currently. So that's why Mitch McConnell was wrong to say the criminal justice system can take care of it. So I don't have to do my duty and impeach him. In his famous speech saying Trump was guilty, but I'm voting against impeachment because I believe in the criminal justice system. That's essentially what Speaker McConnell said.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's to the average layman, to the average American citizen who sees this. And we saw with our own eyes what we saw. And the way the judicial system is set up, common sense does not come into play when we're talking about the judicial system, right? I mean, you know, left is not left and right is not right. The way it's written, it's not as simple and simplistic as we think it should be. Is that correct?
Right. And there are all sorts of rights for defendants, especially defendants who can afford to have legions of lawyers or have the privilege to do it. And you know, low-income folks of color,
right.
You know, they don't get, they don't actually get their constitutional rights, and this country still doesn't care,
right
as far as having a vigorous, effective defense. Whereas very wealthy people get too much of a defense. In other words, they get to frustrate justice. But one complicated thing here, and Jamie Raskin has said it after the indictment, the excellent congressman from Maryland, who was the impeachment manager of the second impeachment and on the January 6th committee, he has said, because Trump's crimes are so unique, there isn't much precedent on prosecuting them. And that the legal term for that, Raskin is a constitutional law professor, is these are cases of first impression. So that also makes this more time consuming. When you have something, you know, garden variety, I convince someone to wire me money based on a fake claim that a relative was in jail, there's long precedent and those are easier to prosecute. There is no precedent for what Trump did. But this is a very dangerous situation because of the public that Trump has and Republicans have created and corporate America created to get itself out from under any public scrutiny or regulation of its practices. That was the beginning of this, discrediting of our whole system, which was a discrediting of democracy. And it shows how far gone democracy is that we're even having to have this debate.
All right, Dr. Craig, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Baby, I just want you to understand just exactly how you make me feel.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines. And Jack from Merrimack, good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Yeah, everybody that seems to be looking at Hunter Biden seems to ignore this fact. Hunter Biden was never in the administration. He is not now in the administration. And he is an adult that makes his own decisions. Apparently, some of those were pretty bad, by the way. But there, anything else that you see and hear is nothing beyond innuendo, misdirection, or intentional misinterpretation of what's going on between Hunter Biden and his father. The other thing is this, and if you'll pardon the pun, the real elephant in the room, in my opinion, is the fact that not one single Republican has even bothered to mention the fraudulent elector scheme. And not even, you know, besides that, of course, they're obviously not looking at investigations. They're not looking at indictments of these people. These people violated almost every state and federal election law in the states in which they reside. And they tried to foist off a set of illegal electors on the vice president in an attempt to overturn the government of the United States. If the Republicans are unwilling to even look at that, mention it, much less do anything about it, I don't see how any person in their right mind can possibly trust any of these major Republican leaders. This is absolutely crazy. To look at that, the results of an illegal attempt to overturn an election that was adjudicated in many court cases as being honest, that was audited, recounted, frauded. The election was legit, and these people tried to overturn it. And unless the Republicans deal with that, I don't see how we can possibly trust the leadership in that party until it's turned over, until there are some new people that are willing to say, hey, okay, this is wrong. This should never have been done.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. I wish I had more time. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, you say what, sir?
Well, your previous caller took a lot of wind out of my sails when I was going to say, but I do have a couple of points. One, there's a rumor that Ron Johnson is having a yard sale. He's going to be leaving town. I think if I was Ron Johnson, I would get a good attorney right now. Right now, Ron, get an attorney. You're going to need it. Now, here's what's going to happen. They're going to try and pull this false impeachment, but it's imploding already. And then they're going to talk about pardoning. If anybody was to pardon Donald Trump, we should look at to investigate them. And we can rewrite the laws now in our country for one reason. This has never happened before. And when something like this happens, we have to ensure the citizens of the United States that this will never happen again. So the only way to do it is to preemptive offense. We are going to go in, assume they're going to try and pardon us. Well, go for it, buddy, because we're going to drag you guys into jail or into court to say, hey, if you are supporting domestic terrorism and voiding the oath of office, which they all did, they're all guilty of that. They took an oath of office and then they all supported domestic terrorism. There is consequences, because if America does nothing, we will be in a state of anarchy very soon.
Hey, Bill, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
I think both callers are right on, and I think the only reason there's a risk of a pardon is because Trump and the right and Republicans have packed the courts with judges that could find such a right that was never intended, or the right to use a pardon to prevent your own prosecution by pardoning co-conspirators, that's short of pardoning yourself. It's a very perilous situation, and what's happening in the Republican Party, Earl, and this is brought up by both your callers, shows that is part of the threat to democracy, the moral rot within that party, because what made democracy strong was both parties upholding its basic principles while disagreeing on a lot of policies, right, and a lot of things they'd like to achieve, and therefore working within that framework, but accepting the general premises of the Constitution and of the balance of powers and the rule of law. And Democratic Party is not the party that is reneged on that. And what you're going to find is, even if they can impeach Joe Biden, and I don't know that they have the votes in the House, but they might come close. That's how bad the Republican caucus is in the House. It won't succeed in the Senate, not only because of Democrats, but I would predict that most Senate Republicans won't vote for it. And this is a very hard right Republican caucus. It's because there is no basis for it. So the dividing line is those who need no facts and those who are willing to aid and abet a Trump, but still need some facts to say impeach a president.
You know, Dr. Craig, this is a perilous time. Is it safe to say that?
It's very perilous, and it goes beyond Trump. A lot of this was done by corporate America and for political benefit by right-wing politicians. It was set up for a Democrat like Trump to take it over. One thing that should scare you about this indictment is how meticulous and elaborate the Trump conspiracy was to keep himself in office illegally, and how many times he changed tactics when he was headed off at the pass. I mean, what this situates January 6th and the attack on the Capitol as his last gasp effort, in which all else had failed. Pence had not done what he had wanted him to do, and other state officials had not. They were there to intimidate the Senate into certifying the election.
So, Dr. Craig, even with that having been said, he's on the horizon trying to get back in office. I mean, that's the part of this that's mind-blowing to me.
It's always been an ongoing conspiracy, and historically, most coups take a second chance to succeed. And so the coup never ended. He left office. The coup never ended. He was always running for re-election, and all of his legal strategies designed to keep him viable for office and able to become president so he can complete the work. And he has already signaled that he will appoint an administration that will be loyal to him. What's fascinating about this being ignored by Republicans, the January 6th committee evidence and all the evidence in the indictment comes from Republicans, and it comes mostly from loyalists to Donald Trump. And the star witness in this will be his very loyal vice president, Mike Pence.
Dr. Craig, we got to go.
How none of that cuts through. Earl.
We got to go. Thank you very much, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Calvin. See you later.